Happy Father's Day. It's happy because we're here. You know, before I start, I just want to thank New Hope. I want to thank Jacob and Chris and the group for the work that they put in, for the amount of time that they put in. You know, their job is not to entertain us. And they know better than anybody else they're not perfect. But their job is to lead us to a state of worship. And they are doing a wonderful job at that. If you can't feel the state of worship that we're in on Sunday mornings, then you need to connect closer to your Savior, because they're doing a great job of leading us to a time of worship. And I just want to thank them for that. All right, Father's Day. It is Father's Day. And one of the greatest needs in our society today is for fathers who will rise up and assume the God-given role of male responsibility as a leadership in their family. Our opening text gives us a basic responsibility mentioned when a man becomes a father. Those responsibilities are expanded. Our opening text is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, that's a wonderful start to living a godly life as a man. But once you accept the responsibilities of a father, there's so much more than that. There is so much more expected of you by our Lord, by your wife, by our family. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to take a look at the five traits of a godly father. And as we take a look at those, as we examine those five traits, you'll notice that your sermon notes in the bulletin today, I cut it down to five notes. That's because it's for dads. We lose their attention after about three notes. So it's down to five. So dads, hang on. We're not going to be here till 12:30 today. We're going to preach God's word. We're going to try and learn. We're going to try and become better fathers. I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. I guarantee you mine are going to be aching. But we're going to see if we can't do a better job of leading our generations to come. Five traits of a godly father. Trait number one, a godly father loves God. A godly father loves God. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This is the basis upon which happiness is built. This is the basis between where a godly life is built, and this is the basis of where a godly father comes from. I mean, this is the root of it, right? This is the best advice that you can give your children. This is the best way that you can learn to love your wife. This is the best way that you can be a godly person as well as a godly father. Isaiah in chapter 57 said, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." Now, how can you be a godly father? How can you be a leadership role to your family if you have no peace? If you haven't found that peace that passes all understanding, how do you ever expect to pass that on to someone else or to be able to share that with a loving partner? If you don't have a right relationship with God, it's futile to think that you can relate properly to others. If you're running from God, if you're running away from that calling that's happened on your life, if you're running away from that whisper of the Holy Spirit, you need to settle that matter first of all. You need to settle that matter between you and Jesus Christ that has separated you from what love is all about. Trait number two. Guys already have three things filled in your, on your sheet. Okay. Trait number two. A godly father loves his wife. A godly father loves his wife. Ephesians 5:25 through 33 says this. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself around, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Godly man, godly father loves his wife. You know, a lot of husbands assume love, we're talking about a physical or a sexual love. That's a very important part of the marriage relationship. There is no fatherhood without it. But real love seeks to meet the needs of another person. Real love is what we just talked about in Corinthians. Romantic actions also are not an abandonment of your manliness. Treating your wife like a lady makes you no less of a man. Love her like Christ loved the church. He gave his body. He gave his life for us. And we sometimes can't walk around the car to open the door. Treating your wife with love and affection is a huge part of being a godly father. Open her hand. Help her with the beds. Help her with the dishes. Help her with the things that she's struggling with. That's the way to show that love. Love is a great word. Man, lots of guys have it tattooed on them. There are plenty of things that you can buy and stick on your car. Love is an action. Love is what you do and what you show. And oh, by the way, dads, in all of this, remember, your sons are watching you. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." 25-33. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Christ talks here, and his quote is talking about preparation of us to be the bride to the bridegroom at some time in heaven. Don't criticize your wife if you're not preparing her. If you're not taking care of her like Christ did the church, if you're not looking after her needs, don't criticize her for how she takes care of you. You know, my wife tells folks about some issues that we went through when we were younger. And most of those issues were mine. I was very selfish as a young man. I was an athlete, and I played a lot of ball. I actually got paid money a little bit, and I justified that time, that little bit of money, for spending 7 nights a week away from my family. My wife is at home raising 4 babies, 3 of them still in diapers, and I was playing ball 7 nights a week because I brought a few dollars home from doing it above and beyond my job. So I was working full time, 50 hours plus, and playing ball 7 nights a week. And she started getting on me. And I started fighting back, telling her to stop being a nag. And we had some great fights over it. And Karen threw herself before the Lord one day and said, "What am I going to do? How am I going to get him to change? How am I going to get him to act right? How am I going to get him to be the husband and father he's supposed to be in this house?" And God spoke back to her. And he didn't tell her anything, give her any ideas or any suggestions on how to make me better. And what he told her was, "Change you first." She talked to my mom, and mom said, "You know, you catch a lot more flies with honey than you do vinegar." And God told Karen, "You change. You change. You just treat him as nice as you can. You do everything you can for him. We'll take care of him." And God did. God threw some obstacles my way. He destroyed my left knee so that I couldn't play ball as much as I wanted to. And he found some ways to help me slow down. And he set some godly men in my path to let me know where I needed to be. And I started doing a better job of appreciating my wife and all the sacrifices that she's made for our family. Like I said before, guys, when it comes to how you treat your wife and how much you love her and the things that you do for her, remember, your sons are watching you. The way that you treat your wife is how they're going to treat their prospective spouses. The behaviors that they're seeing from you, they're going to learn from you. You know, there's a country song the guy sings about, where'd you learn to talk like that? Dad, I heard it from you. Do your sons see on your knees? Has your son ever seen you put your hands on your wife? They're watching you. They're learning from you. Where's my youth at? Caleb, Joshua, Aiden. There isn't anything more important that you guys can concentrate on right now in your prayer life than asking God to prepare that woman for you that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Every day, every time that you go to prayer, you should be asking God to lead you to that one that he wants for you, to that one that he's preparing for you. You're going to be yoked together for the rest of your life. And the two of you yoked together, working together, can be a wonderful team. But if you go the wrong way and you choose the wrong one, you're constantly pulling against one another. And it just won't work. Every time that you get on your knees, ask God to prepare her and to send you the right way to that woman that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. A godly father loves his children. Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. How many of you guys struggle with this one? Honest answer. Man, I'm telling you, this is one that hits me hard, because there's something in my nature that provokes children. It's fun. Hey, I'm just being straight up. I'm giving you an honest appraisal. I love carrying on and aggravating the kids. I start with my kids, and now it's my grandkids. I'm an aggravator. It's what I do. And part of that is my establishing a relationship and learning things with them. You know, I ask kids questions, and the answers that I get back start helping me prepare how much money I've got to put away for college from, you know, understanding them. So, you know, I ask the kids, starting when they're tiny, just talking, how old are you? And when I say, how old are you, inevitably Karen or their mom says, oh, you know he's 2 years old. Of course I know he's 2 years old. I want to know if he knows. But you can't ever have a conversation with the kids without mom chirping in. Well, how was school this week? He had a really good week at school. I want to talk to him. And then from there, it changes to, come over here, Jimmy. Jimmy, Pop, my name is Josh. I said, Jimmy, come over here. And there's something about that aggravation and playing and teasing and talking to the kids about imaginary animals, things like that, that I really like. None of my grandchildren or children are called by their names for me. I have a nickname for each and every one. We just came back from vacation, and Gracie got her new nickname. Now, Gracie is a little bit off. She bounces from wall to wall. She says things that are just completely crazy. We called her Crazy Gracie for a while. But she got her nickname this weekend. Gracie's name is now Filbert. And that's because she's nuts. But I don't call any of them by their names. I've got nicknames for each and every one of them. And the aggravation part is something that I need to try and do a better job with, because God's word tells me not to. You know, husbands loving your wives, it's a lot more than material things. I had a problem with that one too. I've said the words out of my mouth Of course they know how much I love them. I work every day so that they have food on the table and a home and a bed to sleep in. How could they not know how much I love them? Children don't equate that to love. They don't equate that home that you provide for them and the meals that you provide for them. That's not love. They want to hear it. They want to hear how much you love them. They want you to spend time with them. And I'm not talking about that 30-minute quality time when you sit around and play some corny board game that they don't really enjoy. Quantity time. They want your time. They want your affection. They want your arm around them. Provoke not your children to anger. When discipline is required, do it in love. Don't respond in anger. You know, this text, Colossians 3:21, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. If you look that scripture up in 20 or 30 different translations, there's a different translation for provoke not to anger. And some of those other translations come up: antagonize, exasperate, berate, aggravate, embitter, irritate. All those different translations come up for provoke not your children. As a matter of fact, Zondervan's Amplified Bible says this: fathers, do not provoke or irritate or exasperate your children with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, nor by favoritism or indifference treat them tenderly with loving kindness, so they will not lose heart and become discouraged or unmotivated with their spirits broken. But if that's what I'm doing by antagonizing my kids, I'm going to stop. Because I certainly don't want their spirits to be broken. And I don't want them to see that as an adversarial relationship just because I'm having fun teasing them. A godly father is a man of integrity. Integrity. The definition of integrity from Merriam-Webster: to do justly, to walk uprightly, from adherence to code, especially of moral values. The word integrity has become almost a forgotten word in our society. The highest elected officials in our land are tainted with the smell of corruption. Choosing leaders in our country has become less about who has been truthful, but a choice between who has lied the least. Integrity should permeate every area of our lives, in our workplace, in honest day's toil, in our home, fulfilled promises, in personal business, prompt payment of obligations, in other relationships, commitment to fulfill our commitments. Godly fathers should be men of integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt not really sure of yourself? Check your integrity. If you walk in integrity, you will be secure. Proverbs 27 says, the righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. Your integrity will relate directly to blessings upon your children. You walk in integrity and your children get blessed because of it. I'm in. If I can do something, if I can change something about me that causes my children to be blessed, I'm in. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So now you know, walking in integrity is going to bless your kids. If you fall away from that, it's now not just become, oh, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It's now become a sinful action for you. Walk in integrity. You will be secure and your children will be blessed. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Integrity goes a long ways outside the doors of this church. You have to live it out there every day. Trait number 5. A godly father is a role model. The image of a father nowadays is not always a good one. Over half the children in America grow up without a father in the home, often abandoned by their father, or the father is maligned. Sexual abuse is on the rise. Then after instances like that, we tell children that God is their heavenly father. If that's the way a father treats his kids, who wants anything to do with a heavenly one? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility in our actions for our children to know how much they're loved. Our children need to be different. Our children need to understand the truth, right and wrong. Our children need to have that delivered to them in straight facts. That's a responsibility. And because they're watching us, we need to walk in integrity. Because they can spot a phony a long ways off. Dad, you are shaping your children's concept of his and her heavenly father. Make sure that that's a good picture that you're painting. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk as he walked. Notice the capital H's. Capital H in him. Capital H in he. If you claim Jesus as your Savior, if he abides in you and you walk with him, you should walk as him. Now we all know we're a mess. We do stupid things. We tease our kids. We've put our hands on our kids when we shouldn't have in anger. We've got to let them know how much we love them. We've got to let them know we're not perfect, but we're trying, and I'm going to do everything I can to follow the example that Jesus set. When you see me, you're going to see me grab your mom by the hand and help her walk when she needs help walking. When you see me interact with her, you're going to know that I love her, that I care for her, and that I will lay down my life for her as Christ did the church, if need be. And I will for you as well. He who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk just as he walked. That's a tall order. Gentlemen, it's a tall order. But the moment you accepted that responsibility of being a father. You accepted it. Ephesians 5:1, therefore, be imitators of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate his actions. When you're looking for a role model, crack your word open. When you want to know how to handle a situation, crack the word. When you want to know what to do with that unruly child, crack the word. The answers are there. I guarantee you. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The Word of God is challenging you to be a godly father today. Will you choose to be a godly father? God gave us an example. Our Heavenly Father gave us a miraculous example of fatherhood. It was recorded in Matthew 3:17, which says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the day that Christ was baptized, the heavens opened up, and God, in an audible voice, said, this is my Son whom I love. Everybody that can hear me, listen. I love him. Tell your children that you love them, in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son who I'm proud of. Let your children know when they do good things for the Lord that you're proud of them for it. Let them know when they do that right way, when they walk circumspectly. Let them know that you appreciate that they're doing a good thing. But first, let them know that they are beloved. This is my Son, whom I love and whom I am pleased. This is my daughter, whom I love with my heart, and I'm happy about what she's doing. Be a godly father to them. You know, it's interesting, being a father, it's a roller coaster, man. It is an absolute roller coaster. Because when you first find out, oh, I'm going to be a father, and then it takes about 6 minutes for that to set in, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a father. And then you hold her for the first time. And she's perfect. And she screams. And you smile. And in that first time, you open one of those yellow diapers. So, John. And then there's the first day that you put her on the bus to school. And she waits. And the bus is 20 minutes late getting home. Being a father is absolutely a roller coaster. And one of the things that happens with dads is, for whatever reason, we are much more inclined to accentuate the negative. Who was our newest father? Was it Neil? Who, Eric? You know, when you ask him about that one that he's got, around one, you say, how's things going? Well, they're finally sleeping. They sleep through the night now. And we're able to get at least 2 or 3 hours a night sleep. And then when they get a little bit older, how's the baby doing? Oh, 2-year-old, they're all over everything. They climb and they jump and they mess things up. Then they get into middle school. Well, how's your middle schooler doing? Oh, they're getting into that rebellious stage. They're just like, They don't want to, no for everything. Anything you ask them, the answer is no. Then they get into adult, then they get into teenager years. And in the teenager years, you just don't know. They get into teenagers, they turn 17 and they haven't smiled for 4 years. And that's what we tend to talk about. As fathers, that's what we tend to relate. Well, Isaiah had some news for Jacob in Isaiah chapter 40. And he said, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my hidden way from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the fathers. He increases strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. He increases the power of the fathers. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Fathers, be encouraged. If you choose God and choose the life of a godly father, you will be raised on the wings of eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. Raise your children in a godly light, and God will lift you up." We had a couple of gifts given out for fathers this morning for different things. But there's a gift for each and every one today who's a father. And those gifts are back on the table by our offering plates. And they're just a little coin for you to stick in your pocket that you can pull out and take a look at every day. And it tells you that you will rise up on the wings of eagles, that God will lift you up. As Brother Joe comes to have our intercessory prayer this morning, I just want to remind you that if you don't know Jesus, we're going to be here after the service to accept prayer or request. Jesus Christ is the reason that a godly father can be a godly father. If you need to know the Lord, we'll be here to introduce you to him. Or you can speak to me later in the service when we're leaving. Or you can get in touch with myself or Pastor Tom. But know that God is the reason that a godly father can raise children in a godly manner. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the time that we've had here to celebrate fathers. Lord, we just want to ask right now your anointing upon each and every one here that is a father. We ask your anointing, Father, on those that are fathers to be. We ask your anointing, Lord, on the young men who will be fathers someday in the future. Lord, we need to lift up the name of Jesus. We need to teach truth and righteousness if we're going to turn this country and this world around. Lord, we ask that you guide us and lead us. And Father, now we go to a time of our intercessory prayer from our brother Joe.